One such sin, if we pay attention to this action, this example, which is within different, all the different forms of sin and errors, this is a very dangerous sin, very dangerous indeed, and a bad action, and a big sin. So it's dangerous. Now all sins are dangerous, and all sins are bad and negative in nature, because there's no sin which can be good or acceptable. How can it be good if a person, as a result of a sin, burns him? So how can that action be good? And so never should an individual consider a sin as acceptable or good. And if a person understands this point, then he will succeed. That never consider, regard a sin as okay or good. Consider a sin as a sin. And this sin is severe and dangerous for this reason, because nobody, generally speaking, considers it as a sin. The reason for this is also that it's common. When something's common, then it dilutes. We don't consider it as bad, so it becomes common. So if nobody considers an action as a sin or wrong, then it becomes common and acceptable. Now, this generation of Islam, we're living through dangerous times in terms of spiritually and physically, in terms of actions. And this generation of Islam that we're passing through is the generation of fitna. A lot of trials and challenges, and you can say lots of issues that we face. And in terms of ibadah, it's very good if nowadays a person understands something as disobedience and as a sin. Yeah, so a person, the worst is he who doesn't understand when he's disobeying Allah. And the best and the most successful person in this era, you could say, or Muslim successful, is that person who more than worship, who pays more attention to the sins. More than over and above worship, he pays attention to the sins. In other words, we look towards ibadat, we look towards worship, and we do lots of worship actions in high number and quantity in abundance. And better than this, over and above this, is that a person should control his sins. It is better to do this, because the objective is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this day and age, how will we please Allah through our ibadah? This is the day and age of fitna. There are so many sins and disobedient actions that this is what we should be paying attention to, looking towards to. And tazkiyah means this in reality. And the meaning and the objective of this gathering is also the same. That we can understand and realize the sins, read about it, look at it, identify it, understand it, so that it doesn't come into our physical life, the sin, so that we understand physically, spiritually, that this is a bad action. So we are afraid to do that action, and we hesitate and shun the action, and that's tazkiyah. And if we leave the sins, then we are purified, and that's tazkiyah. What else is tazkiyah? So, what I'm trying to say is that me and you and us, we should all make more effort on the fact that at least the minimum sin should be recorded. If there's less worship, the big difference will be made. Allah Ta'ala has given us a great ibadah. 5 times salah in jama'ah and congregation, great stuff. Yeah, mission accomplished. But beyond that, we need to reduce and eliminate the occurrences of sin, because sin is the most dangerous thing. And this sin, it is called, Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu narrates the hadith with regards to this sin, that when a person commits this sin, and when this sin was, for example, in Madinatul Manawra by anybody, then at that time, this hal would become that the smell of that sin was so bad, the stench was so bad, it would spread around Madinatul Manawwara. And Hazrat Jabir said that we would realize, radiallahu anhu, that this sin has been committed by somebody today. Imagine this. Today, any majlis, any gathering, any telephone call, any sitting or meeting in a house, or a wedding, or a gathering, or an event, or a function, If we say even to this extent that even the muttaqi, beyond the muttaqi, is immersed in this action and it's hard for that person to leave the sin. And why is it hard? Because when we don't understand a sin as a sin, as a bad action, then how will we avert it? How will we stay away from it? How will we try to get away from it? This is how we've taken ourselves down. And the khalis, pure standard is such that the Sahabi is saying that on that time when this sin was committed by somebody in Al-Madina Al-Manawwara, the stench, the smell of this sin would spread and we'd realize that somebody's done this. Imagine. And we don't smell it. We say, oh no, there's no gathering within which this doesn't occur. We say, oh, it's good, we're having fun. Then this sin is for us, you can say, enjoyment in society. Let's sit down. It's a pastime. Two people if they meet, or two women they meet, two sisters, takes a second. Alhamdulillah. And we start to discuss and talk. And there's no gathering today where this sin is not present. We say that that gathering without this sin is lifeless. There's no enjoyment. There's no maza. Why? Because we don't have the smell in our noses, in our minds, spiritually. If we go, for example, to a sitting, or let's go, for example, to a factory, a manufacturing process. We go there where some work, something's being manufactured or made. We'll put the cloth, you know, handkerchief on our nose. Oh, it's smelling, it's bad. And they'll be sitting there, the workers, eating in the canteen, having tea and working on the shop floor because they're used to it, the smell. When a person lives amongst the smell or works amongst the smell, then he doesn't feel that smell afterwards. He's used to that smell. So we're used to this sin now, the stench of this sin. We're used to, we're sitting happy in the masjid outside everywhere. Oh, everything's fine, it's okay. And this is such a bad thing, this sin. Then what is the effect of this sin? What is the effect? The effects of this sin, take three effects of this specific sin. Number one, the first effect of this sin, particular, is that the person's dua is not accepted. Yeah? His dua is not accepted. Yeah? So a person who commits this sin, his or her dua will not be accepted. And today, that's our hal. There's a very common complaint, I make a lot of duas, but it's not accepted. I'm so tired, I make the dua and I'm not succeeding. And the dua, the situation with regards to dua, Allah Ta'ala says that a man does dua, istajib. Allah Ta'ala says, I accept straight away. This is how Allah Ta'ala is close. When a person's making dua, Allah is so close to that person. What is the shan of the mu'min? If he's a true Muslim, then can his work stop anywhere? Can his work and efforts hang in the balance? Allah says, istajib. You implement, ask me whatever you want, I will give to you, Allah Ta'ala says. And then Allah Ta'ala has made it even easier beyond that. That 24 hours, within 24 such times, such ibadat, such times Allah Ta'ala has given to us, that Allah Ta'ala accepts the dua most readily in those times. Most readily. Allah says, this is the time I've given to you, and in this time, just ask for me. And it's a famous time, the people who pray tahajjud, mashallah, you do this. Tahajjud time, the final third of the night, the last portion of the night, yeah, before the dawn. This is the cream moment, the cream of the cream. Creme, you could say. Allah says, I call out myself personally, come to me, ask from me, I'll give to you. The one who is going to give, Allah is giving and saying, come to me. Then even if we ask at that time, why isn't it being accepted? Why? We don't know. Yeah? The multazam, mashallah, many people who have gone various times or you're now preparing, may Allah Ta'ala give you the naseeb listening, may Allah give me that chance as well. Multazam, which is next to the door of the Kaaba, I've seen a dua being accepted there. Myself, I've told you this event many times over, but I'll tell you again. This true story. Subhanallah. That where I was staying in Mecca, the water stopped. There was no water coming into the property. No water facility. And I went to Hazrat and I said, Hazrat, do dua. And Hazrat said, what's the issue? I said, that the water stopped flowing in the hotel and today's Jummah. There's no water to have a bath. There's no sweat. Where I'm staying, they have no water. There's no water supply. And Hazrat said, why are you asking me? Go to Multazam and ask. Because Hazrat had yaqeen. Subhani said, why are you telling me here? Yeah, if you're in Pakistan, you've got to ask me to do the dua. You're here now. Go to Multazam. Are you not a Muslim? Are you not a believer? I said, okay, you're right. So I went straight. And not that Allah Ta'ala says, even ask me for a needle, I'll give you the needle. A pin, I'll give you the pin. Sometimes the pin is very desperate. You're desperate that you want to hang something up, or a button, you want to sew it, and you're going to a wedding, and if you can't sew that button on the shirt, on your kameez, then, oh, my suit, my shirt, it's spoiled. I ain't got the pin, the needle, and you're running around. You can't find the needle in the wedding. It's already started. You need to sew the button on. And if you don't stitch it on, then you can't, you won't look good. The button won't look, the kameez won't look good. So you'll run around. And how valuable will be the needle at that time? And you say, ask me, Allah says, and I will give you the needle as well. If you need it. So I went to Multazim. I said, Allah, my Shaykh has sent me to you to do dua. I'm present here. Wasila of my Shaykh, through the medium of my Shaykh. And if I don't have any water, then it will be difficult. And there's no hope of water. And I did dua. When I went, then inside the residence, water was flowing. I could hear it. The containers, they were saying, quickly, quickly, water's just suddenly started. We filled up the pots, the pans, and the containers. Quickly, quickly, have a bath. You've got a chance. I said, okay, don't worry. As long as I'm having a bath, the water will not stop. I said, I had that yaqeen. Fill up what you want. As long as I'm in the bath, if I don't have the bath, but if I have the bath, I'm in the bath, I have this yaqeen. He said, what are you saying? So they're filling the containers, filling. And he said, quickly, you will have a bath, otherwise you'll finish. He said, as long as I'm having a bath, the water will continue to flow. I know this. And they filled all the containers when I saw everything's full. And mashallah, how many days the water was not to come again. Then I went, I had a bath, I washed and cleaned myself. Soon as I came out, water supply off. The brakes were put on. Allahu Akbar. So this is the quality of the mu'min, the believer. And we say, oh, this dua has not been accepted. Oh, I've got these issues and these desires. Then we try it using different wrong methods, going to people. And the business is running for the amils today, isn't it? Those people, the magicians, black magic, people run after them. They're after jinn or butt or ghost or spirit, pressing this person's legs or giving this person money and asking for help. And this magician and this person. Look at the... Allah's given us strength. What can a jinn do? Ask directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, get this evil force away from me, this makhluk, and Allah ta'ala will remove it. That's it. Allah will burn it. Isn't it? This is the power that the human being has. This is a small thing. Allah says, ask me and I'll give. There's no limit here to ask. No limit. And what's our hal? What's our situation? We are sitting here, all of us. Aren't we? We have a life, all our life, our du'as are not accepted. And we complain to Allah. The reason? Because it's the sin. Sin. First it's been told that doesn't matter what occurs, doesn't matter where you stand, the dua will not be accepted because you are committing this sin. So this is a very unique form of sin that results in the dua not being accepted, the prayer not accepted. So that was consequence number one of the sin, the dua is not accepted. Consequence number two, the good deeds are not accepted. Aha. So coming to step number two now. So a person who implements this sin, his du'as are not accepted, his good deeds are not accepted. And you see that in the dunya. Because a person whose good deeds are accepted, then the nur comes, the light comes. And his character becomes, it shines. So if your salah is accepted, you will know yourself, my salah is being accepted. My ibadat. When your dhikr is accepted, you will realize that today my dhikr has been accepted. Allah Ta'ala has heard and I am successful now. So amal, we implement the deeds, and we still complain, oh, I don't know, I'm practicing, I'm implementing, I prayed salah, but I don't feel like it's been accepted, I don't feel spiritually clean or uplifted. And the person prays, I don't know, what salah did I pray, what did I do? I just went through the motions, and too many waswasa come, and whispering of shaitan, so many whispers of shaitan. This is a common complaint. Why? Because we sin. Because we sin. And the third consequence of this sin. So we see this, don't we? And the third consequence or punishment of the sin. Let's listen to this carefully. That there is a abundance or a huge amount, you can say, big, a high quantity of sin upon sin a person implements. The floodgates open, you know? We hear that saying, the doors open, the floodgates open, the sluice opens and the water comes gushing through. Yeah, then one sin, next sin, fourth sin, fifth sin, sixth sin. So as a result of this one sin, the floodgates open and sinning from left and right and forward and behind and up and down and outside and inside. All day long sin. And if you sit down to count, you cannot count. You lose count how many sins you've committed. Isn't this the case? We hide the sins. We hide the sins. This is the reality. We're sitting here, I did this and commit the sin. You took that person's sin. You looked at this person's sin. You looked over that way, sin. You spoke to somebody else, sin. Implemented something physically, sin. Is this not the position? Is this not the situation? Why? Because of that first sin we committed, which creates that result. And that's the speciality of this sin, that it gives the offshoot of many other sins. And this is not a sin that is hidden. It is apparent. The same Quran we read morning and evening, day and night. Allah Ta'ala says, I'll tell you. And we say, is it? Allah Ta'ala gives the full introduction of this sin. Not that we are not aware of this. We are aware of this sin. We know about this sin and we continue to implement this sin. وَلَا يَكْتَبْ بَعْدَكُمْ بَعْدًا Allah Ta'ala says. Just once Allah Ta'ala is saying this. Allah Ta'ala is saying this. وَلَا يَكْتُمْ بَعْدَكُمْ بَعْدًا O Muslims, O believers, do not backbite against each other. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala has given us that guidance. وَلَا يَكْتُمْ بَعْدَكُمْ بَعْدًا That don't backbite against each other. And this is what we do. The Quran has given us such an easy explanation, and alongside Allah gives the punishment. We don't see the physical sign of the sin. Anyway, in the Quran, I have not seen here that this punishment Allah Ta'ala has given. Allah says, وَلَا يَكْتُبْ بَعْدُكُمْ بَعْدًا And what does Allah Ta'ala say after that? Allah Ta'ala straightway said, that if you do this, then see what happens. Allah says, what is the punishment? Allah Ta'ala says that your real brother, blood brother, imagine your blood brother, and you are like slaughtering him, you are slaughtering him, and then you are cutting the meat, and you are roasting it, and you are eating it with enjoyment. Can you do this in the world? Could you? And Allah Ta'ala says, but you're doing, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْدُكُمْ بَعْدًا That when a person backbites, that this is what he's doing. Because Allah says, would any of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? يُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمْ أَخِي لَحْمَ أَخِي Allah is saying, this is what you are doing when you're backbiting. It's as if you are devouring the flesh of your brother. And Allah says, do you like this? Did you like that meat? And who will say, yes, I did. So Allah Ta'ala says, why do you backbite then? Why do you backbite? وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْدُكُمْ بَعْدًا Allah says, this is the punishment, and this won't just finish here. That when that person will come to me in the hereafter who backbited, then you will be given the dish. The first dish you will be given is that your brother's flesh will be cut and it will be fed to you. Fed to you. And when you will reject, then Allah will say that I will ask you that when you were alive, you liked to eat it. Now you've come to me, why do you reject it? Nay, you would loathe eating the flesh, innit? So be conscious of Allah, Allah says. So why did you backbite in the world? Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. Seek repentance from Allah, forgiveness from Allah. So we can imagine from this that due to this sin, our deeds are not accepted, our du'as are not accepted, and we are immersed in multitudes of sins. And this is so common, I've told you, so common, that there's no limit to how common this is, no limit. That's it. And just we need to meet each other and the floodgates open for the sin. My brothers, this is ibadah. This is ibadah and worship, that a person leaves the sin. And this sin of backbiting, that it is better to leave this sin than carry out thousands of nafal voluntary worship actions. It's better to leave the sin. This is what we need to understand. We need to make effort for this. Effort. We need to create an awareness that Allah Ta'ala has given severe punishment for this sin. What will happen? Another hadith. Listen to it. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw with his eyes in hellfire that there was a qawm, a nation, and they, Allah Ta'ala will make their nails very long, and they will be ripping the flesh of their own bodies and eating their flesh. And Rasulullah was shook at that time that Jibreel, who are these people? Alayhi salam, Jibreel. And Jibreel alayhi salam said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam, these were those people in your qawm, ummah, who used to backbite against others. What is the benefit of this? Can there be any taste in sin? Tell me, if a person is committing zina, he feels some enjoyment, or etc. Or for example, other many sins, and there's a bit of taste maybe in it. But what taste is there? For example, you're backbiting against Haji Sir. Is there any benefit? There's no benefit. Is there any benefit? That by backbiting, slandering, I am getting this benefit. Is there anyone who can say this? No. But we still want to do it. We still want to do it. I'll give you another example. That when you backbite, why? What is troubling me that I have to backbite? Look at the standard that Allah Ta'ala has made us independent from other people, isn't it? And if an individual, for example, from all of the creation, if we don't make ourselves independent, then we cannot attain Allah Ta'ala's nearness. This is the standard of attaining Allah. That's why the punishment is being given for this. Therefore, a person is going after someone else, or he did this, or speaking about him negative or wrong, then how will he think about Allah? Tell me. How will we think about Allah when we're talking about this? So this is a, such a severe sin that this makes us negligent and ignorant and unaware of Allah, and we are concentrating on the people in the world. Allah desires that if you do not detach yourself from the makhluq and creation and take them out of your heart, then you cannot attain my nearness. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. This is why there's a big punishment for this sin. The logically I'm explaining to you spiritual now factor. The spiritual factor that when we sin, when we backbite, it doesn't let us detach from materialism, dunya, and to go to Allah. We are revolving and immersed in people. We go, we pray salah, and we come out to the masjid. Oh, brother, Kemcho, how are you? Yeah, yeah. Oh, did you see that person? Did you hear what he said? Did you see what this person did or she did? And this is happening everywhere. Because the standard of this action is so delicate. Allah Ta'ala says that if you pay attention towards makhluk, and in a negative way, against creation, then you are detaching yourself from me, Allah says, because ghibat, backbiting, is what? And even if you're saying the right thing, in other words, even if it's correct what you're saying, even if you're speaking correctly about another person, it's not that you're lying or making something up. No, that's why we do it more. That's why it's called backbiting. Even though it may be true, for example, a person has a defect or he's done something or something happened, you are mentioning that to another person. That's backbiting. Because that person, if he was to hear it, then he wouldn't like it. And if what you're saying is wrong, then that's the father of backbiting. That's slander. So if you say somebody, oh, he's deaf, he can't hear, then if he's not deaf, that's slander. That's worse. But if he is deaf, but to pick bones in a person behind his back, that if he was to hear it or if she was to hear it, they wouldn't like it, he or she wouldn't like it, that's backbiting behind the back. If you say it in their mouth, that's different. So to speak against a person, a man or a woman, behind their backs, even though what you're saying is correct, but if they were to hear it, they didn't like it, that's backbiting. But if what you're saying is wrong, it's slander. So if you speak about somebody's body, their form, about what they've said, about their deen, about their actions, about that person's shoes, about that person's clothes, about that person's transportation, about that person's height, about that person's hair, anything physically or anything about that person's life, and you're speaking about that person, that if they were to hear it and they would dislike it, that's backbiting. Even though what you're saying is correct or true or fact. Because Allah Ta'ala doesn't like this. If that person wasn't to like it, Allah Ta'ala doesn't like that you speak about a third party with a second party. Isn't this? We are very busy in this action. That's the reason why du'as are not accepted, our hajj is not accepted, our umrah is not accepted, our recitation is not accepted, our laylatul qadr is not accepted, our staying up the night is not accepted. And shaitan, he keeps us doing this action, and he puts a hole in our container, and the water's dripping out. And I'm saying, oh, I'm filling up the vessel with the fluid, and it's dropping out, leaking out, because I'm going to get the punishment afterwards. So let's accept what Allah Ta'ala is saying here. The Quran is saying this. Allah Ta'ala is saying this. وَلَا يَغْطَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَهُمْ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ. It's as if you are eating the flesh of your brother. Hazrat Abu Layth Samarqandi rahmatullahi was going on Hajj, and at that time there was dinar, and he put the dinars in his container, and he thought that I'll need to spend on the way. So he went on Hajj, he departed, and when Hajj completed, he had not spent, and the dinars were separate, and the gold, he had the wealth still with him. So he came back, and the money was there, he had not spent it. So his student said, Hazrat, why did you take this money with you that you didn't spend anything? The amount you took, you bought the same amount back. He said, ah, alhamdulillah. What was the purpose of this, Hazrat, my teacher, my sheikh? And he was a great muhaddis, Hazrat Abu Layth Samarqandi rahmatullahi. So the student asked, Hazrat, why did you take this money then with you? He said, the objective was big, it was massive. What was it? The student said, he said that all of the gold and the wealth and the dinars, that I thought I'm going on Hajj, I don't know what conditions will come, what type of people I will meet, and the trials and the tests. It's a long journey, then I will come back. So it may not be that by mistake that I backbite against anybody from my tongue. Because if I talk about somebody's transport, his animal, his clothes, or his speech, there's all different types of backbiting. So he thought that if anywhere I backbite against somebody, then all that gold, I will give it as charity, sadqa, straight away. So alhamdulillah, as I took the money, I brought all of that money back with me because I didn't break my promise and I didn't backbite. Do you understand now? I understand now. And this, the understanding has come in front of me, that keep money in your pocket, When you leave home and promise to yourself that if you backbite or slander, then you will give that money away in sadaqah. Inshallah, if you will, due to the love of your notes, that £5 will come back with you. Subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? You will do this from tomorrow? Inshallah. And see what a great solution of how to preserve your wealth from a muhaddith, from a great scholar. Because it's hard, isn't it, to lose the money. So today 5, then say tomorrow 10. Why? Because if £10 goes, no problem. But at least that my du'as will be accepted, my good deeds will be accepted, and all my deeds will be accepted, and I won't eat the flesh of my brother. What a good life I will get, isn't it? Good cure. So whenever you depart, going to work, into the dunya, and whatever you're doing, then what should you do in your pocket? Take a £5 note. Now is the new £5 note. And first look at it nicely. Ah, this is a good note. And put it in your pocket. Okay, now see if I backbite. And see if I'm going to, that person, if somebody speaks to me, I won't even open my mouth against somebody. I know that five is going. Isn't it? And see what happens then. And if we backbite, then give the money. And how long will you keep giving money away? You'll give 5, 25, 30, 100. Can we give that much? And then one day make £5 the penalty. Then the next time make it £10 penalty if you backbite. Eh? Will you backbite against anyone? No. Just be quiet. Just stay slowly quiet. Sitting down is another method. Then when you don't backbite, alhamdulillah. When you don't backbite, then understand that your tongue totally is now lost. When the tongue is lost, then automatically you will start the dhikr of Allah. What a great balance you've achieved. What a great balance. That you've left a big sin and you've started, initiated a great amal, a great action and a deed. A great deed you've started. You've become a dhakir. Yeah? So you've left the big sin until qiyam, all the punishments to displease Allah, devouring the flesh of the brother, all of that is finished. And on top of that, additionally, as a bonus, you will get the high rank status in Jannah. So either we will go into hellfire down, or you will reach to the heights of Jannah paradise. So this is the result. Now we don't have the fikr. We don't have the why. Is this difficult? Is this difficult, this job? Yes, but you don't feel like, oh, I want to do this though. But see that the punishment for doing this, how we are wasting everything, wasting our life. We are destroying the principle and the objective of life due to the sin of backbiting and slander. Is no permission, mother, sister, brother, anyone, children. We should not speak about anybody. Oh, his car, his clothes, shoes, this and that. Oh, your clothes aren't good. Oh, look at dirty clothes you've got on. Oh, look at his red shoes that he's wearing. That doesn't look good. Why do you feel discomfort on that person's shoes, the color, and on the phone? Oh, he's got a new phone. Look, he's showing off. We say this, don't we? Why are we saying this? Oh, he's got a car. Oh, mashallah, very nice car you bought, mashallah. Why are we starting to initiate a discussion that may take us to backbite? Is there something to say? Well, what have we done? We have devoured the flesh of the real brother. This is a big punishment. Big punishment. Tell me. So this is something we need to be careful about. Allah Ta'ala has Himself given us the solution. This is Allah's mercy on us. So inshallah, we need to try this. I will try. We should all try. I've been giving you the charts, alhamdulillah. And you keep filling them in. And this is what we need to worry about. Leave the sin. Yes, this is what we need to be concerned about. So if we see, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, that if somebody gives me haram meat, dirty, rotten, totally burnt, rotten flesh from a donkey, would you eat it? Of course you won't. Of course you won't. But we'll eat the flesh of our brother. Allah Ta'ala said it in the Quran. Literally Allah is saying that don't backbite. Don't speak ill of another behind your backs. Would any of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? So brothers, this is a very important point. This is the majlis for rectification after today. We should try our best. That those people who are practicing this on backbiting, then keep special focus on this sin. Okay? And try to avoid it. And everyone, are you all doing this? If you're not, then take the chart. Who's doing the chart? Put your hands up so I can see who's filling in the sheets. There's only a few people, isn't it? Because we don't have worry. Fikr, only 2-3 brothers filling in the sheets to monitor the sin. So we should be ashamed. Sit down, consider how I came here to do tazkiyah. My hal is that I'm not doing anything to leave the sins, and my shaykh gave me the tariqah of leaving the sin. We don't like that formula, method. We all feel like, I feel like just telling everyone to go. What is the benefit? You have friendship with me. What's the point that tomorrow I will go inside you to you? Isn't it? Allah will ask me that I made effort, I printed the charts, I asked people, but nobody's got any fear. no regard. And tell me, who is not doing backbiting? At least from Allah Ta'ala's rahmah, we should be hopeful and mercy. And Allah says in the Quran, Sa'i Mashkura, that person is making an effort. If it's not going, Allah says, okay, no problem, I'll forgive you because you're trying. At least you tried. You made effort. So this is dhulam upon ourselves, oppression. That you're listening to what I'm saying and it doesn't make an effect. Tell me, two people have just put their hands up that we are filling the sheets out. Congratulations to them, but the rest, do we want to go into hellfire? So why have you come here? That we cannot make Jannah paradise without no effort. Jannah, this is a portion of Jannah where we're sitting. Yes, the hadith says that where you sit down to dhikr becomes a portion of paradise and the angels do come down there. It all happens, but not in this majlis where we are in. That the smell is there, backbiting and slander. If we bring the stench here and the smell, the bad fragrance, will the angel come? Will there be mercy? Will there be noor? So the roads are there. Allah says the deeds are there. But the deeds we are eliminating due to backbiting. So we don't care about, we shouldn't worry, I'm doing the chart and it's not going, the sin is not going. Inshallah, alhamdulillah, the sin will finish. What should we have fikr about that? Am I making effort or not? What need do we have? Tell me. Because our nafs says we don't need to do this. We are totally fine. There's no problem. I've got no problems. I am a person who's patient. I pray this salah. I do this. I do this much tasbih. I do this action. I'm always in the masjid. And this is pride. Where a person thinks he is saved. Allah Ta'ala is explaining to us the negatives. What we need to avoid and stay away from. And we're saying, I do ibadah. I'm worshipping and Allah will forgive. And I don't need to leave the sins. No. This verse is not for me. Is it? I'm old now. I don't need to leave this. Astaghfirullah. Allah Ta'ala says, I'm giving you a chance in your old days. That today do tawbah, repent. Today you make effort and all of the previous sins I'll forgive. That's it. The whole life you are changing the sins into goodies. So old people should make more effort. If we hear such points, suddenly we should start, because we don't know what's to come after today. Yeah? Because the ditch is open. The ditch is open. The grave is open. We just have to drop into the grave. That's it. The grave's waiting. 1 foot in the grave is what's left, the second foot. That's why the young man can say, okay, I'm still young, I've got a chance. But old people should be more careful when we hear something like this, suddenly alert. Allah's fadl on me, Allah's grace on me, He's explained something to me, He's given me a solution. If I start this action today and maut comes tomorrow, then mashallah, all my sins will have been removed and eliminated. Allah appreciates that this person listened to me. Okay, today he stood up. And tomorrow, his kismet, death was to come, but he listened to me and he repented. Allah said, okay, let me forgive this. So will we do this or not? Of course, all of us should try this. Otherwise, what do we come here for? Well, the dhikr, you can put the tape on, listen to dhikr, you can listen. Oh, my face is not that nice and handsome that you come here to see me. That's, so mashallah, you're coming for tazkiyah, for rectification. How can you, without rectifying or identifying, make rectification? If I don't pick up this glass and drink the water, how will the water come into my stomach? So there's the means. You have to pick up the glass, put it to my lips, then I'll nod my head back and the water will go down to my mouth, down through my throat into my stomach. But say, no, I'm not going to drink the water, and my thirst will be quenched automatically. The sins will never go on their own. Such things we hear, the sins will never be eliminated automatically. They can never go unless we don't remove them ourselves. Yeah? So two things I told you. Make your chart, the monitoring sheet, the table, and monitor your sins and share it with your teacher after a month. Nafs says, I've done this sin, I did this, and this is khalis, I think I'm pure. These are the things we need to do. Yeah. So if we make mistakes, Allah Ta'ala says, if we make a mistake despite trying, Allah will forgive. But if on top of that we are not monitoring, we don't care, we continue to sin, that is what will give us the punishment. And those are the sins we need to eliminate. And for example, that there's no such sin that Allah Ta'ala said that there's no punishment. And this sin, backbiting, gives total destruction. What is it? A person's just sitting down and talking to someone else. You have no objective, no link with that person, no reason to speak. Just wasting time. Futile talk. We don't do dhikr. Nor are we habitual of doing dhikr. And nor do we read. And shaitan makes us backbite. So my brothers, inshallah, try. Make an effort. So make your chart that I've given to you. Complete the sheet. Write backbiting at the top. And the method I've told you, very good method. What should we put in our pockets? £5 new note. Start from today, inshallah. Yeah? And then the £10 will come. Then 20. And then we'll see that how long the sins stay with us. And with the fadl of Allah, the £5 will keep coming back. Make a good niyyah, Allah will save, inshallah. Allah will save. So, after today, make a solid promise. Inshallah, I will do this and you also do this. That this is a severe sin. and we are not going to do this after today. The women should do this, the men should do it, the children should do this, the old people should do it, the young people should do it, person who prays Salah, the Hajji, and everyone, Mulana, Shalana, everyone make this promise, everyone make this pact, because Shaitan, he has attacked us in such a way that all of us commit the same sin and we don't utilize our tongues correctly. So Alhamdulillah, we'll practice on this. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. Ameen.